I bet this makes a difference. You get to that point in life when you don't know if you're on or off. Next Sunday is flower communion. Bring a live plant. Can be something from your garden or a piece of flower out of a flat, something that we will share, and you will then go home with someone else's live plant. Next Saturday, there is a very special workshop taking place at UU West. It is a Beyond the Banner called Talk the Talk. And, you know, that given our commitment to the Black Lives Matter movement, these ongoing discussions are really important. You can register online, and the information has been coming out via the Kooks. There is this notice. We'll go back on the front board right after the service. And on the back, you can sign up. And someplace.
I will be there, so show up. It'll be fun.
The annual LCUUC congregational meeting will be held after the service next Sunday, June 5th, starting promptly, they say, at 11:30 a.m. Please be sure to sign in when you enter the sanctuary so there is a record of attendance. And finally, this is the time where we do sharing of the ministry. And the sign-up sheets and the boards are in the social hall. This is our opportunity to participate in the life of the church and actually be its beating heart, to contribute to the efforts that make this community the wonderful community that it is. So please take a look and sign up for whichever committees or work groups you think would best use your talents. If you have questions, I see Lisa Alvarado is here. She is a co-chair of the Leadership Development Committee, and Lynn Smith is a co-chair.
God of many names, Spirit of life, Spirit of humanity, we are endowed with the inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And yet these rights are not equally granted in our country. Let us remember this day that in this country there is no national religion, no superior race, no preferable gender or orientation. And let us work to make that true. We gather holding a common value, that the glory of this country rests first and foremost in its diversity. Out of many ideas, out of many beliefs, out of many views, many voices, out of many passions and many experiences. Let us be one. Come and let us worship here together. Please take just a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to your neighbor. If you didn't have a chance before the service, you're welcome to come forward and put any pictures or mementos on the altar. Good job.
This chalice burns for the right to a free and responsible search for truth and meaning, so that each person may live according to conscience in a democratically elected society, and it burns for the defenders of that freedom. May we tend this fire always, ever vigilant and courageous in the struggle for freedom and justice for all. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our first hymn, number 162, Gonna Lay Down My Sword and Shield. Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. My name is Sue Andrews. I'm the worship associate for this morning service. And I have the privilege of saying we all, each and every one of us, are welcome here today and every day. On this day, each of us comes with some sorrow in our hearts, but also the tender joy of remembering those whom we have loved and cherished. We honor the servicemen and women, particularly those who didn't come home or who left pieces of their bodies and souls on the battlefield. It is also customary for many at this time to remember loved ones by decorating graves with flowers. When I was a little girl, a long, long time ago, when the earth was young, my grandparents picked peonies, and we took armfuls of peonies and drove down to the little country cemetery near Shenandoah, Iowa, where my grandmother's parents and sisters were buried. That was my first lesson in bittersweet sorrow. So this day, we open our arms in welcome to each other and our memories and our sorrows and to the spirits of those whom we honor. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after this service. And while you're there, stop by the welcome table to find out more about LCUUC. And stop by the sign-up posters to sign up for committees. Today's order of service includes announcements of upcoming activities, and we look forward to everyone joining in. Check out our Facebook page and our website, lcuuc.org. At this point in the service, silence all your electronics that you may have brought with you here today. We are so glad that you have chosen to celebrate and worship with us.
I marched to the Battle of New Orleans at the end of the early British War. The young land started growing and the young blood started flowing, but I ain't a marching anymore. For I've killed my share of Injuns in a thousand different fights. I was there at the Little Big Horn. I heard many men a-lying, I saw many more a-dying, but I ain't a-marching anymore. It's always the old to lead us to the war, always the young to fall. Now look at all we've won with a saber and a gun, and tell me, is it worth it all? For I stole California from the Mexican land, fought in the bloody Civil War. Yes, I even killed my brothers and so many others, but I ain't a-marching anymore. For I marched to the battles in a German trench, in a war that was meant to end all wars. Oh, I must have killed a million men, and now they want me back again, but I ain't a-marching anymore. It's always the old to lead us to the war. It's always the young to fall. Now look at all we've won with a saber and a gun. And tell me, is it worth it all? For I flew the final mission in the Japanese sky. Set off the mighty mushroom roar. When I saw the cities burning, I knew that I was learning that I ain't a marching anymore. Now the labor leaders screaming when they close a missile plant. United Fruit screams at the Cuban shore. Call it peace or call it treason, call it love or call it reason, but I ain't a marching anymore. No, I ain't a marching anymore.
One of the ways that we care for our community is by contributing to the local food pantries. And we do that every month, both by collecting funds and by collecting non-perishable food items. So if you have brought food items, please bring them forward at this point or ask a child to bring them forward for you. And I invite the children to stay up front and enjoy a story. Oh, and this is going to be another adventure in watching me sit on the floor. Watching me get up may be the story. Let's see if I can get this to work. Okay. He's just happy to be here. So, as some of you guys may know, today is Memorial Day. Which sometimes it seems like what it's all about is being the day that we do a bunch of picnics and maybe go swimming or go camping. It's easy to forget that it started as a holiday to make sure that we remembered people who fought for our country and who didn't come home again. And originally I was going to do this very serious story about but we have a small group here today, and I think I would rather tell you a story about a group of men who decided not to fight instead. Back in 1914, which was 102 years ago, we were in the middle of a terrible war. Men from France and Germany, England, the United States were all fighting. And there was a place called the Western Front in Europe. This was in a country called France, and thousands of men were out on a battlefield. It was cold, and it was Christmas Eve, and what they had done was dug big trenches, big holes in the dirt that extended for miles. And the Germans were all hiding in these trenches over here, and the British and the French were over here, and they were separated by about the width of this church. So think about it. Men with guns would have been on that side, and men with guns on that side, hiding in holes that came up to their chin. And they were scared, and they were cold, and it was almost Christmas. And all of a sudden, the fighting got less, and the bullets stopped flying, and it got quieter. And a voice came out from the German side, and said, "We won't shoot if you won't." Well, the French and the British and the Americans thought it was a trick. But so finally, somebody stuck his head up. And over on the German side, this far apart, he saw somebody holding up a lantern like this. The guys on this side said, "What are they doing? What do you think's going to happen?" "I don't know." And the Germans started to sing. And they started to sing Silent Night. Well, the British and the French thought that they had gone crazy. But they stopped shooting to hear them sing. And then some of our guys over on this side started singing too. And then they sang another song. And then they all started singing together. But nobody was shooting. And the British and the French and the Americans started to look up, and they realized the Germans were putting up Christmas trees. And they were holding them up over the trench like this so that the Americans and the French and the British could see that they were Christmas trees, not guns. Well, everybody went to bed and there still was no more firing. And when they woke up the next morning, on both sides, people had started to put up branches of trees and hang things shiny from them. And then they started to put up lanterns. And then they started to sing again. And then one of the Germans pulled out of his pack a bunch of rags and he started to jam them together. And a few minutes later, above the trenches, he waved a soccer ball and yelled, "Anybody want to play?" So on Christmas morning in 1914, in the middle of a terrible battlefield, men from both sides climbed out of the dirt, out of the trenches, very carefully put their guns down and walked to the middle and played soccer together. And they had so much fun, they went back to their trench, fished in their stuff, and they brought back Christmas presents for each other. These were lousy Christmas presents, but they were Christmas presents. They exchanged food that they had, cigars, beer that they had smuggled into the trenches, bottles of wine, shoes, anything, so that they could say they had given a present to somebody on the other side and gotten one in return. And they spent all day playing soccer and singing and eating together. And then they went back into the trenches and got told they needed to start fighting again. War isn't easy to understand, especially if you're a kid trying to figure out why people would hurt each other. But not all people that fight in wars are bad people or good people. They're just people. And they're just people like us. So today we commemorate everybody that didn't get to come home from a war. And remember, they were just people like us, people who probably would have sung songs with us and shared food with us. And they're not a bad guy just because they're on the other side of a trench or a field or wearing a different uniform. Thank you for listening to my story. All right, here we go. What's your bet? Could I have my lantern bearer, please? Devin, if you'd come up. May the light and the love of our chalice lead you today and every day. And if you all would help me sing the children to their classrooms, the song is called "For You Shall Go Out." And the words are written in your order of service. Letter from a southerner in the Marines. "Dear Mom and Pop, I'm well and hope you are too. Tell my brothers Walt and Elmer that the Marine Corps beats working for old man Minch by a mile. Tell them to join up quick before everybody gets to their place. I was restless at first because you got to stay in bed till nearly 6 a.m., but I'm getting so I like to sleep late. Tell them all you need to do before breakfast is smooth your cot and shine some stuff, no hogs to feed, wood to split, or hay to bale, practically nothing. Men have to shave, but it's not so bad. They get warm water. Breakfast is strong on trimmings like fruit juice and cereal, eggs and bacon, etc., but kind of weak on chops and potatoes, ham and steak. But tell them you can always sit between two city boys that live on coffee. Their food plus yours will get you through till lunch, and they actually feed you again. This next will kill Walt and Elmer with laughing. I keep getting medals for shooting. I don't know why. The bullseye's near as big as a chipmunk, and it don't move. And it sure ain't shooting back at you like the Higgett boys at home. Be sure to tell Walt and Elmer to hurry up and join before the other fellas back home hear about this setup and come stampeding in. Your Marine and loving daughter, Gail. P.S., speaking of shooting, enclosed is $200 toward a new barn roof. The city boys play craps, but not so good. So that this southern girl does not have to get out her dice, the morning offering will now be given and received. Our thanks for these gifts given and received for the life and the work of our community. This is the time in our service where we share together our joys and our concerns. Before the service, you're always welcome to silently light a candle on the candle table. But during the service, we speak aloud together and we light candles together. So would anyone who has a joy or a concern to share, please raise your hand. One of the ushers will bring you a microphone.
Please light a candle of concern for my good friend Jenna and her husband Tom. Tom has just moved into hospice care at age 38, facing the end of his battle with alcohol addiction.
This is Carol. My joy is that my son Aaron is home from Cuba, got up this morning to come with me, and probably be his last summer home with his age and getting internships and stuff through college. So it's just nice to have him here.
Hi, this is Terry. Two joys. First, our granddaughter's turning 5 this week. I can remember when I came here, and I was so excited when she was born. So it's just a joyous time. We're not going to be at her birthday party today at Pump It Up, but I am taking her on a little trip for her birthday on Friday, and we're going to have a good time. The other joy is that I just want to extend an invitation to anybody here. I sent it out on Lee Cook's, but we're having a picnic tomorrow. You're all welcome. Just let me know if you can come and what you might bring. And very laid back. It's supposed to be a beautiful afternoon. Okay.
Hi, my name is Helen, and I like a candle of joy and thanks. A number of the members of the choir and some of the Nancy and Doug as musicians yesterday. I went to go see Robin Reed, and he's ready to be out of there, but we did a wonderful sing-along with him.
I'd like to light a candle of joy that my little sister Natalie has survived the eighth grade, and the eighth grade has survived Natalie. And we light our last candle today for all of those joys and all of those sorrows which we hold deeply, but which we have not been able to name here today. For Mother's Day this year, we heard the Mother's Peace Day proclamation by Julia Ward Howe. And we're going to hear it again today, but with a different lens. This time woven together with her other well-known poem, The Battle Hymn of the Republic. I ask that you think about what it means to live in a world where the same voice which begged so eloquently for peace calls so boldly for war, death, and destruction. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. I have seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They have built him an altar in the evening dew and the damp. And I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and the flaring lamps. His day is marching on.
Arise then, women of this day. Arise, all women who have hearts, whether your baptism be of water or of tears. Say firmly, we will not have questions answered by irrelevant agencies. Our husbands will not come to us reeking of carnage for caresses and applause. Our sons shall not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them of charity, mercy, and patience. We, the women of one country, will be too tender of those of another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure theirs.
I have read a fiery gospel writ in burnished rows of steel. As ye deal with my condemners, so with you my grace shall deal. Let the hero, born of woman, crush the serpent with his heel. Since God, our God, is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that will never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on.
From the bosom of a devastated earth, a voice goes up with our own. It says, disarm. Disarm, The sword of murder is not the balance of justice. Blood does not wipe out dishonor, nor violence indicate possession. As men have often forsaken the plow and the anvil at the summons of war, let women now leave all that may be left of home for a great and earnest day of counsel. Let them meet first as women to bewail and commemorate the dead. Let them solemnly take counsel with each other as to the means whereby the great human family can live in peace, each bearing after his own time the sacred impress, not of Caesar, but of God.
In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. Our God is marching on.
In the name of womanhood and humanity, I earnestly ask that a General Congress of Women, without limit of nationality, be appointed and held at some place deemed most convenient, and at the earliest period consistent with its objects, to promote the alliance of different nationalities, the amicable settlement of international questions, the great and general interests of peace.
As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. Our God is marching on. Here ends the first reading. Spirit of life, Spirit of beloved humanity, we enter into this season of Memorial Day surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. We remember, first of all, the people who are currently serving in the armed forces, and we pray and we hope for their safe return. We also acknowledge that there are those who will not return, or those who will return not whole in body, mind, or spirit. We grieve their passing. We grieve their brokenness. We pause to honor their service and their sacrifice. We also pause this hour to give thanks for all those who have served in the nation's armed services. Those who have not served cannot fully imagine the experience of war, but we do know war's aftermath and the toll that it can take on the human heart. This day remembers and acknowledges loss, and so do we remember those whom we have loved and lost. We hold their names and their faces in our mind's eye. We recall the gifts they gave us through the strength of their being, the depth of their love, the courage of their dying, and the fullness of their living. In the holy quiet of this hour, their names surround us, and they live with us in blessed memory. May we remain together in silence as a tribute to all that they have meant to us.
Thank you. We'd like to honor all those who have served or are serving. Or to honor your loved one or your, please stand when you hear the song of the appropriate branch of service. Army. Marines. Coast Guard. Navy. Air Force. And first responders everywhere.
Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing number 168, One More Step.
War is hell. William Tecumseh Sherman said that, and I don't think anyone would disagree. The United States has been a country for 240 years. And we were born in revolution and cradled in fire and smoke. We were born in war. We don't seem to have changed much. In our 240-year lifespan, we've been at war for a total of 223 years. 94% of our existence as a country. 21 years since 1776, without having Americans fighting and dying under our flag. We fought the Native Americans, one tribe after another, in wars of colonialization. We had a lovely civil war with brother fighting brother. We've invaded Mexico, Panama, Haiti, and Guatemala. We sent men to the Yom Kippur War. We colonized Florida and then Texas. Two world wars, Vietnam and Korea, CIA proxy wars in Afghanistan and Nicaragua, the Gulf, Iraq and Kosovo, the war on terror in Afghanistan and Iraq and Pakistan, the Libyan civil war, the war on terror in Somalia, Syria, Yemen, civil war in Ukraine, Bosnia, the Syrian civil war, the war against ISIS. When I went to look for stats for this sermon, the same pages I had looked at last year had grown by half a page. In February of this year, the Institute for Strategic Studies released its military balance report, which examines the changing nature of military power. And Adam Taylor and Loris, and I'm going to mispronounce this, Karakalis, wrote a report for the Washington Post on that report. And they said, on a grand scale, the report showed yet again that U.S. military spending dwarfed the rest of the world. With a budget of around $597 billion, we spend as much as the next 14 countries put together, and far larger than the rest of the world. China is the only country that can hold a candle to our budget, but its own budget of $145.8 billion is less than a third of ours. We believe in a total power standard. We are ready to take on the world, and we seem to have the firepower to do it. And because we were born and raised at war, we have always had warriors. Marines and Navy, Air Force, Army, Coast Guard. The trite saying is that they write our country an open-ended check, valuable for anything up to the cost of their lives. And the non-trite reality is, yes, they do. It used to be a joke that the not-so-bright, the poor, and the desperate joined the Army for a way out. Our Army today is fairly educated. These are not dumb people. But yes, these are still poor people, disproportionately. These are people of color, disproportionately, because the military service offers a way out that they can't find in other places. As of today, 1,354,664 Americans have lost their lives in battlefields under our flag. Another 1,498,237 have been wounded, and over 40,000 are missing in action and believed dead. These aren't easy statistics, especially because in our country and as Unitarian Universalists, we have a terrible tension around the military. Young people sign up to defend the weak and the voiceless, but they are disproportionately poor and voiceless themselves. They themselves are often unheard and uncared for when they come home. They come home battered, broken in body and mind and spirit, and they find understaffed and underfunded VA hospitals. I don't know if this has been remedied, but as of 2 years ago, there was not a single gynecologist on the staff at a VA hospital. Homeless veterans sleep in the streets across our nation. Young soldiers use food stamps and vouchers to try to feed and clothe their families. Payday loan companies and rent-to-own stores prey on these same young soldiers, airmen and seamen. Julia Ward Howe in her writing encapsulates this terrible dichotomy. She writes with equal passion of a fiery God who calls for us to die in battle for freedom for all, and of a mother's call to end all war. As Unitarians, those two things resonate for some of us. We want to provide voices for the voiceless. We want to protect. We want to serve. We want to help. And at the same time, we want the violence to end. We honor those who have died in the service of our country, not at the call of this bloodthirsty God of Howe's, but because of the call of their own hearts. And in this year, when a challenging presidential election approaches, when racism and xenophobia fill our land and fear is often in the news, when politicians can no longer work with the people they represent and money buys power and political voice, in this year, we honor those who died because they were sent to wars, just and unjust. We have to recognize a great task, the task of making our country a place worth the sacrifice of the honored dead, a place where democracy is still possible, where the cost of human lives is still held dear, no matter what the color of their skin or the content of their wallets. I hope our goal is always for a world where no mother's son or daughter will harm another, and where we can call one another to love every human child as our own. And if that call is unable to be answered, may we live in a world where the strong protect the weak with dignity and honor at all times. Memorial Day is not Veterans Day, and every year I hear some complaints in different places from people who want to make sure that it is the dead recognized today, that the two holidays are not run together, and I agree. This holiday is for those who have died. But I cannot ignore those who are willing to die for their country, but through fate did not, or those who came home with parts of them dead or missing. I cannot ignore those who honored the intent of the military, which was to protect and to serve, and who were willing to risk death for that. Back in 2003, President Bush declared the war in Iraq over, despite all evidence to the contrary. As a result of this rather brave proclamation, the medical helicopters, which had been kept running continuously, were powered off as a money-saving measure because we were no longer at a state of war. The 101st Airborne Special Forces were sent through Kabul to hunt insurgents who had been stealing propane from the village, leaving the people unable to stay warm or to cook. These soldiers were in the desert trying to save lives desperately. Without that propane, an entire village could die. They drove their convoy into an ambush. Snipers with rocket launchers lined the tops of the street and they formed a fire corridor. The trucks took heavy fire and the rockets hit the first two trucks many, many times. Men were hurt. Some died immediately. Four on the ground there. And another six were dying. And their sergeant radioed for help, only to have the medevac chopper pilot tell him with tears in her voice that it would take 30 minutes or more to get the choppers heated back up and ready to fly. No one could get there in time. And then a miracle happened. Or at least it seemed like a miracle to the young men who were in that street who told me about it later. There was a dumb kid from somewhere in Iowa who had his radio on the wrong channel, and he was flying an unarmed supply helicopter. And this young boy heard their call go out. This kid was 22 or 23. He heard that call go out, and he heard that corpsman crying when she told them that the helicopters were stood down. So in an unarmed supply chopper filled with food, he sat down in the middle of a firefight, sideways between the rockets and the young men on the ground. And he managed to dump his entire content of supplies out into that village square and to help the sergeant drag six wounded young men and four dead into a supply copter meant to hold far fewer than that, and get them home. These are the kinds of soldiers we have in the field for the most part. Young men and young women who have signed up to do a terrible task and do it even at the risk of their own lives. Today we honor those who don't make it home. And we honor those same dumb farm kids who are on the wrong radio channel and turn out to be heroes. Let us honor those who fight and die protecting others in the hope that there will be no more war. Let us honor those who lived, but with the death of their innocence, their faith, their relationships, and their health. War is not kind, and there are more deaths than those of the body. Let us honor those who will never be whole again. Let us honor those on all sides who are willing to give their lives equally for peace. The conscientious objectors, the first responders, the medics. Let us honor those who work for peace and justice while serving, and those who cannot serve. We've made an altar today for those we remember, and it tells our community that we will remember. that we will not forget what they did, that these people and their sacrifices will not go gently into that good night, but that they will have their memories and their stories shared. And it tells the honored dead that we remember, that we are proud of them all through our politics and our ideologies. Doesn't matter. All gave something, and some gave all, and we remember. Amen.
Carry this flame with you and light the memory of all those who have served and died to defend others. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our closing hymn this week, The Star-Spangled Banner. The words are written in your order of service, and Crystal will play the intro on the trumpet before we start singing. This song...
Or maybe not.
Well,
not.
All right. I guess she won't. We can imagine it. There. This song asks a question that we are called to answer, not just this year, but every day of every year. Does our flag still wave over the free? If the answer is no, what are we going to do about it?
Go in peace and love, honoring those who went before us. Peace, and may it be so.